In another place, in the words of St. Paul to the Romans, the love of God has been poured into our hearts, like that oil that was on the head of Aaron. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So this is the gift that we have received for a very special purpose, and that is that we did not receive this gift only for ourselves and say, well, I am filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm so happy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord only anoints us with His Spirit because we have a mission. So those who had missions to be priests, prophets and kings, were anointed. And so we have been anointed. And therefore we have a mission. We cannot live for ourselves. We have to enter into the mission of the church. And what is the mission of the church? The church, again, in the words of the Council, Vatican Council, is an instrument of unity. The church promotes unity by living that unity. In the prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, Father, that they may be one, as you and I, Father, are one. And these words of Jesus indicate, as we've mentioned already, that the church is to be an extension of the Holy Trinity. Through Christ, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we bring, as it were, on earth, the presence of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, this is our mission. There are times, maybe, again, when we live our faith in a very individualistic kind of way. We are concerned about saving our souls, but we forget the mission. Even though at the end of the Mass, we are told, ite missa est, which translated would say, go, you are being sent. The church is being sent, missa est. And so we cannot ever close the door to the rest of the world. And starting, of course, with the household, as St. Paul says, our charity, as they say, must begin at home. Wherever we are, we may not be able to directly connect with the people in Asia or Africa or South America, even though we might give donations, and that's one little bit of a connection, and we express our love that way. But we cannot avoid connecting with a lot of people as we journey in this life, whether it's at work, at home, in any kind of situation. We're surrounded by people with whom we are to live unity. If we don't, again, we are working against Christ Jesus. He died on the cross for that very purpose, that we would be united to God, of course, and united to one another. And again, this is what heaven is. Heaven, we say, is paved with gold. Well, we couldn't care less probably if it was paved with rocks or dirt or whatever, because that's not what's going to make heaven what it is meant to be. What will make heaven is the fact that we'll have overcome anything in us, any bitterness, any unforgiveness, any anger, any judgment of others, especially any kind of gossip, any kind of rejection, any kind of shunning. That'll all be gone. It cannot exist in heaven. Otherwise, there would be no heaven. It wouldn't be a place of happiness. Because again, the psalm says very clearly how good and how delightful it is for us to live together like brothers. So we are the church militant. This is the church triumphant. And then, of course, there's the church, the suffering. The suffering church is connected with as to how much we have succeeded to remove from our hearts all that is preventing us from loving everyone. The psalm says for all to live like brothers and sisters. So I don't only look at people in my church, in my community, in my family. My heart goes to the ends of the earth, like the heart of Christ. And so this is what we're all about. And maybe sometimes we do forget that, and we need to be reminded. So let's go back to Saint Teresa again. She says, now you do not have Christ's love unless he puts it there for you. And that's his gift to us. He cannot put it there for you, he says, unless you give him the time in silence and prayer. Now, Saint Teresa is trying to help us here in our battles, in this incredible challenge that we've been given by Jesus when he said, love one another as I have loved you. And when he says, love your enemies, pray for your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to your enemies. We could never deal with this unless we find a way. And the way that is proposed by Saint Teresa is very simple, but yet it's important for us to hear this, because our world is full of noise, full of distractions. So I'll repeat what she says. You cannot put it there, that love, in you, for you, unless you give him the time in silence and prayer. And we have to be careful about prayer, because it's an art. Prayer is an art, as Pope John Paul says. He says, you cannot become a saint unless you learn the art of prayer. And so we have to learn that art of prayer. There's a lot of wonderful books that can guide us. I mentioned one of them, which is The Fulfillment of All Desires, from what I understand. It gathers all the wisdom of the great spiritual writers, especially St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa, the Little Flower, St. Teresa of Avila, and others, plus the scriptures, of course, and helps us to understand how we are to pray. But the word silence is very important. Sometimes we might think that we have to be talking to God all the time. But like lovers, we have to learn that lovers don't talk that much sometimes. They just sit together. And we have to learn that. That's part of the art of prayer. This time when the Lord would want us to be quiet. Just to be quiet. Give him a chance to reveal himself to you, to us. And a I believe this is the response to the psalm today, show us your face and we will be saved, or something like that. We need to see the face of the Lord, and as Pope John Paul explains so beautifully in his letter on the third millennium, we must see the face of Christ. We must contemplate his face for us to be able to reveal his face to the rest of the world. And so he puts it there, you cannot put it there unless you give him the time in silence and prayer. So our next task is really twofold, she says. You must always love Christ, and in order to do that, you must have scheduled prayer time that includes time in silence. Again, she speaks in her own little simplicity again, as we know her for the way she lived her life. In order to do that, you must have scheduled prayer time that includes time in silence. Then she goes on, you know that when you spend time in adoration and contemplation of the living Christ, you walk in calm, trusting peace. And so it's the living Christ. Like Jesus somewhere says, I'm not dead in the Eucharist. I'm not dead. I'm living there. I'm the living Christ, the risen Christ. And if you contemplate the Lord, the living Christ, spend time in adoration and contemplate the living Christ, you will walk in calm and trusting peace. When we are at odds with each other, it's because we're not at peace inside of us. And we mustn't be surprised that sometimes we're not at peace. And so there's a beautiful little story in the same series on this direction of our times, where Anne sort of speaks of her experiences and how the Lord has to teach her a lot of things. She came into a situation where there was bullying, and she was ready to let him have it, as we say. But then she said, Lord, you better help me. And Jesus helped her, all right. She switched her approach completely. Instead of being angry and furious at those who had done these things, she began to speak to them in a totally different way. And the result were absolutely wonderful. Those who had bullied this little person asked for forgiveness. And then they went and bought him something to, like chips or something. And then they ended up, even though there was a lot of conflict between, because they were foreigners and everything, they ended up accepting each other and playing together. But the way she started, and including her two girls who were there too and were furious, it would never worked. And sometimes we use aggressivity when Jesus, in spite of the fact that Jesus says, learn of me, that I am meek and humble of heart. Yeah, sometimes we have to use some kind of aggressivity or whatever, but it has to be under control and has to be certainly directed by the Lord, like the anger of Jesus, or the zeal it's called, really, when he saw the temple being desecrated. And so we can experience anger, but how we translate it. And so anger can be loving in a way, but it has to be totally directed by the Lord, and otherwise it's like a bomb. It explodes and does more damage than anything. That's why Jesus is very severe about anger and calling people fools or things like that. That's not the way to deal with people. Love your enemies, do good to them. So you know that when you spend time in adoration and contemplation of the living Christ, it is easier to complete. You walk in calm, trusting peace. And you find it easier to complete mundane tasks, and love flows easily from you because he has had...